Good morning. At this time, we'll enter into a time of worship as we hear the prelude. I want to welcome all of you this morning on this beautiful Lord's Day. We thank you for coming out this morning to worship the Lord and have fellowship with one another. And if you're visiting with us, we give you a warm welcome here at Myerstown Church of the Brethren. All your announcements are in the bulletin, and I don't really need to go over anything. Do we have any other announcements this morning that need to be made? If not, let us stand up and greet one another this morning for a little time, and just welcome each one this morning in the name of the Lord. call to worship first. Let's all stand for the call to worship. This is taken from Psalm 27, a wonderful psalm of worship. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is a stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? One thing I ask of you, O Lord, and that I will pursue, to live in your house all the days of my life, to behold your beauty and to seek you in your temple. Let's sing our first hymn to the Lord, O Worship the King. Let us pray together the invocational prayer in unison. Let us pray. Most gracious God, protect us from worry about the concerns of this life, so that we will not become entangled by them, from the needs of our bodies, so that we will not be enslaved by desires, and from any hindrance to our spirits, so that we will not be defeated by troubles. Give us strength to resist, patience to endure, and steadfastness to persevere, for the sake of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Amen. You may be seated, and this time the children can come forward for the children's story.
Good morning, friends. How is everybody? You good? Okay. Now, have you ever done something for the first time that you never did before? Yes? Like, go to school? How was your first day of school? Do you remember kindergarten, those who have gone? Yeah? Were you scared when you went to kindergarten? Yeah? Brianna? You were scared then, too? I was, too. Were you?
I was scared when going into.
What about when you swam, the first time you swam? Were you scared about that?
I was scared when I swam for the first time.
Mm-hmm. You swam for the first time. How about you, Daniel? Yeah. And, you know, going underwater can be really scary. You know, sometimes it's still scary for me. And what other things? How about when you got on your bike for the first time? Were you scared about that? Because you had training wheels, right? Okay, but how about if they took the training wheels off?
I just went flying through the grass.
You just went flying through the garage? Wow. Oh, the grass. Okay. But still, did you fall?
No.
No? Okay, fabulous. What did you do?
I went down the driveway and landed in the grass.
And landed in the grass? You know, I was doing really good because my dad was holding on to the back of it. But then when I realized he wasn't there anymore, I crashed. Yeah, wasn't a good one. But then I realized that I could do it. You know, the first times can be scary until you figure out, I really can do this. So what we're going to do is, how about we are going to blindfold somebody. And Brooke is going to, you want to, okay, I'm going to blindfold Ella. Can you get her? And then she is going to lead you over to the hymnal on the front over there beside Pastor Marty. All right, so this takes trust, right? Yep. Okay, can you see anything? See me after worship and you can do it. All right, so Brooke, can you see? Or Ella, can you see?
No.
Nope. Can you breathe?
Yes.
Okay.
Sorry, is it down?
It's a little bit. Okay, there we go. That's okay, I can get it. If we can't, we can't. Okay, so when you're blindfolded, you have to trust somebody, don't you? Right? We have to trust someone that they're going to tell us the correct way to go. Have you ever stood in a circle and you had to trust that the person behind you was going to catch you? That's another thing that you have to trust. Yep. Oh, she can't see. Okay, good. All right, so now we're going to see if Brooke can lead her over there. If she can follow or not, okay? Go ahead. All right, and Brooke, you tell her what to do. All right, walk forward a little bit. Keep going. Keep going. Turn straight. Straight ahead. Turn your body. There you go. Yep, left arm. Use your left arm. Keep going to the left. Getting there. Getting there. Now come on back over here to me. Can you hear me? There we go. Now, does that take trust? She had to trust that she was actually telling her where to go. Okay, stop. There you go. Good job. Give Ella a round of applause. She did really good. Okay, so just like Ella did this morning, it's a similar situation that Abram and Sarah faced in today's Bible lesson. God told Abram to leave everything behind and move to a new country. Now, if God told you to leave all your house and all your possessions behind and go to a new country, would you do it? Yeah, there's a little bit of, yeah, maybe. But this is what God said in the book of Genesis, chapter 12, verse 1.
The Lord said to Abraham, go from your country, your people, and your father's household to the land I will show you.
So they didn't know where they were going or if they would find when they got there. It was like wearing this blindfold. But they trusted God, just like Ella trusted Brooke in leading her to where the hymnal was, and like we trust our parents to help us do new things. So even though they were a bit scared, they left everything and set on a journey to a place that God showed them. It took them many years, but God was with them, and he led them to their new home. So How about you? Do you ever take a journey every day that you don't know where you're going to go?
My dad pulled me up in the air and they go down in a pool.
Down in a pool, and were you scared?
Yeah.
But it was probably fun too, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Yes, it was fun. Yes, Brianna.
Once my daddy, he threw me off the diving board and I went really high and then I belly flopped.
You belly flopped, and then was it fun? Yeah, so that was the first time. Yeah, belly flops do kind of hurt. All right, but they may be a bit scary when we do things for the first time, but we know that God is with us, right? Say, God is with us.
God is with us.
Just as he was with Abram and Sarah. So who are we going to trust to lead us? God, yes. Very good. Okay, Brantley, real quick.
I was scared the first time I did cough in the pool.
You didn't cough in the pool. Okay.
When I was riding my bike, I took the train wheels off and I say, bleh.
Yeah, okay. Well, let's pray. Okay, we're going to pray to God about helping us with our first times, just like he did Abram and Sarah. So, dear Father, sometimes we are afraid to go where we have not gone before. Help us to remember that you are with us wherever we go. Amen. All right, you can go on back to your seat.
Thank you, Rachel, for the children's story. The offertory statement this morning is taken from Mark 12, 41 to 44, a very familiar passage. Let's read this in unison as we prepare for our offering. Now Jesus sat opposite the treasury and saw how people put money into the treasury, and many who were rich put in much. Then one poor widow came and threw in 2 mites, which makes a quadrans. So he called his disciples to himself and said to them, "Assuredly, I say to you that this poor widow has put in more than all those who have given to the treasury. For they all put in out of their abundance, but she out of her poverty put in all that she had, her whole livelihood." Let us pray. Lord, we thank you for the gift that you have given us through Jesus Christ, our Lord. We thank you for the gift of this ministry here. We pray that you would help us to give with our hearts to the needs of the ministry here and around the world. Lead us as we continue to worship you through our time of offering. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. This time the children can go to Children's Church. And our offertory hymn is I Must Tell Jesus, number 364. The ushers can come forward as we take our morning offering. Thank you.
tempted and tried. I need a great Savior, one who can help burden to bear. I must tell Jesus, I must tell Jesus, He all my cares and sorrows will share. I must tell Jesus, I must tell Jesus, I cannot bear my burdens alone. I must tell Jesus, I must tell Jesus, Jesus can help me.
This time, Rachel will provide our special music this morning.
Well, good morning, everybody. And this morning, I'm going to kind of go back to my home roots of bluegrass and country music. The first song I'm going to do is by Jessica King, called Work of Heart. And the second song is by the Isaacs. It was written by Dottie Rambo, and it's called He Ain't Never Done Me Nothing But Good. So here we go.
Darkness of the womb, I became a masterpiece in the coldness of the tomb. It's beyond all comprehension how life turns into art. When He painted me with Calvary's blood, I became a work of He painted me with His own blood. sweetest child has ever had. Oh, he ain't never done me nothing. Done me nothing but good. Nothing but good. Oh, he ain't never done me nothing. Done me nothing but good. Nothing but
Thank you, Rachel, for that wonderful special music this morning. In your bulletins, if you want to turn your bulletins, there's a list of prayer concerns that we need to remember, people that we need to remember in prayer. One other thing that I forgot to mention, during school is beginning here soon, and we want to remember our kids and our teachers and the safety when school starts. So in 2 weeks, we'd like to have a blessing of the backpack. So kids, if you want to bring your backpacks, we'll have a blessing of the backpacks to begin the school year. We always want to support our schools here in the church here. Also, I want to share a few prayer concerns this morning. We want to extend our sympathies to Amelia Gross. Amelia's brother died this past week, Eugene Weaver. So keep Amelia Gross in prayer. Also, I'd like to share from the Global Mission prayer concerns that I get each week from Elgin. We need to continue to pray for the Church of the Brethren in Nigeria. It says here, request continuous prayers for the Nigerian Church of the Brethren affected by Boko Haram violence. Some of the members are fleeing from recent attacks. And pray for the miraculous power of peace to descend upon Northeast Nigeria. Also, Children's Disaster Ministries. CDS, Children's Disaster Ministries, is deploying a critical response team of volunteers to El Paso, Texas, to serve children affected by Saturday's mass shooting. Children's Disaster Ministries staff is also working with the Red Cross to determine if a team would be helpful for the victims of the shooting in Dayton, Ohio, as well. So we need to lift up those areas of concern as well. And as we conclude our prayer this morning, I ask that we conclude in a spirit of unity as we say the Lord's Prayer together. So let's bow our heads for our morning prayer. Lord, we thank you for the beauty of this Lord's Day. We're thankful, Lord, for blessing us with so much. And as Abraham looked up into the sky and God showed him the blessings of descendants, we pray that we would look above, Lord, and see the many ways that you have blessed us. Help us, Lord, to look up, look upward to where you are more so than downward. Because we know, Lord, that you're a God who blesses us and you're sovereign over everything, Lord, that we're facing. Lord, we lift up our country right now, who's dealing with some tragedy right now. Help us, Lord, as a church, to be a good witness, to be the witness of Jesus Christ in this time of violence. We pray for all the victims of the shooting in El Paso and Dayton, Ohio. Lord, we pray, Lord, that the church would respond in kindness and care in helpful ways. We pray that we would look above where you are over the terror of these activities. Help us, Lord, to know that you are over everything. We also pray right now for the Church of the Brethren in Nigeria as they continue to be persevered. We pray for those families that are fleeing right now, that you would give them, Lord, that you would be their refuge and strength, their very present help in times of trouble. We pray that you would cast out all fear and help these Christians to know, Lord, that you are with them through this time. Lord, we lift up Amelia Gross this morning, who's dealing with a loss of her brother. We pray for this family, Lord, as they go through a loss. And Amelia, Lord, give her comfort and strength to know that you are with her through this time. We also pray, Lord, for the many other people that are mentioned on a prayer concern list. Lord, we lift each one to you in prayer. We pray for the situation that each one faces, Lord, that you would be their refuge and strength, a very present help in times of trouble. Lord, we lift up the church of the week for the Florin Church of the Brethren that we're praying for. We pray for this church, for the leadership of this church, for the witness that this church does. We thank you for this church. We pray your blessings upon the pastor and the ministry of Florin Church of the Brethren. Lord, as we conclude our time of prayer together, we pray that we as a church would pray in a spirit of unity as we pray the prayer that you taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Turn in your Bibles to our scripture text today. We're looking at Genesis 15, verses 1 through 6. We're going to be looking at Abraham and God calling and using Abraham, although at this time in Genesis 15, his name was Abram. So just so you know, I'll be using that name this morning, Abram. Genesis chapter 15, verses 1 through 6. Hear the word of the Lord. After these things, the word of the Lord came to Abram in a vision, saying, "Do not be afraid, Abram. I am your shield, your exceedingly great reward." But Abram said, "Lord God, what will you give me, seeing I go childless, and the heir of my house is Eliezer of Damascus?" Then Abram said, "Look, you have given me no offspring. Indeed, one born in my house is my heir." And behold, the word of the Lord came to him, saying, "This one shall not be your heir, but one who will come from your own body shall be your heir." Then he brought him outside and said, Look now toward heaven and count the stars if you are able to number them. And he said to him, so shall your descendants be. And he believed in the Lord, and he accounted it to him for righteousness. May God add a blessing of the reading of his word. Let us pray. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable to you, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. All of us as believers have a calling from God. But are we faithful to that calling? When I first received my calling from God to go into the set-apart ministry, I had to go before the district ministry commission. That's proper procedure for anybody who's going into the ministry. And the committee met with me for an interview to see if I was qualified to be licensed to the ministry or not. And what I had to do in preparation for this meeting was fill out a pre-licensing ministry form where they asked me all kinds of questions about your family, your educational background, and your theology and beliefs. And so I filled out that form. Everybody in the ministry commission read it, and they had a meeting with me. And there was one question, one very important question that I had to answer. And that question was, describe your calling into the ministry. That question is one of the most important questions that the district ministry looks at when they interview anybody for licensing and ordination. At least it was 30 years ago when I interviewed. The committee wants to know how you believe you are called into the set-apart ministry and what preparations you're taking. And I basically answered that question by saying that I really believe that God is calling me into the ministry, but I don't know where that calling will take me in the future. And I answered that question by quoting Abraham. I use Abraham as an example, where God called him to go to a foreign country. But Abraham didn't know what the outcome of his calling from God would take him. What countries would he go to? What countries would he travel through? What obstacles would he encounter? What wars would he fight? Abraham didn't know any of that when God called him to begin a nation of God. Yet Abraham still obeyed God's calling and was obedient to God's covenant. In your insert, you'll see Hebrews chapter 11, verse 8. The Bible has a great description of Abraham's faith. It says, by faith, Abraham obeyed when he was called to go to the place where he would receive as an inheritance. And he went out not knowing where he was going. It was by faith that he went out. The message we see in this text is this. Abraham was a man of great faith in God. As we see in verse 6 of Genesis 15. And he believed in the Lord, and he, that is God, accounted it to Abraham for righteousness. Now, let's turn that towards ourselves as believers. What about us? What about you and I? Are we people who have great faith in God? And I'm going to talk about the difference later on between faith in God and great faith in God. But a question for you to think about in your own walk, in your own journey. When was the last time you went out on faith in God and you had a strong conviction that, yes, this is what God wants me to do, but you didn't know what the outcome would be? You know, you get the stirring in your heart that God wants you to do something. God wants you to stand up for a certain cause. God wants you to do this ministry. And you have that strong urging, but you don't know what the outcome's going to be. Yet you went out on faith. It may have been when you were beginning a new job. It may have been when you got married or when you moved to a new location. And you really didn't know where the Lord would lead you. But yet you went out on faith believing that this is what God wants. You are trusting God for the outcome. See, that is what I believe is a standard in having great faith in God. You know, faith in God is when you believe. Great faith is when you believe and you obey when you don't know what the outcome is going to be. But we trust God and have faith in him. Now let's look at Abraham, look at the lesson today, and compare Abraham to some of the challenges we face as Christians. Where was God leading Abraham? Abram was on a pilgrimage with God. It goes back to Genesis chapter 12. It begins there where God called him to begin a great nation. He left his country. He left his homeland and went out on faith. And God was leading Abraham. And then we see in Genesis 15, verse 1, it says, after these things, the word of the Lord came to Abram. Now, whenever the Bible says after these things, you have to go before that. And then in Genesis 14, I'm going to give you a brief summary of what was going on here. Here in Genesis 14, Abram was in a war with the king of Elam because the king captured Lot, Abram's nephew. And so Abraham was going to rescue him, and he defeated the king of Elam. Look what it says in Genesis 14, 21 through 23. Now the king of Sodom said to Abram, give me the persons and take the goods for yourself, meaning the material possessions. But Abraham said to the king of Sodom, I have raised my hand to the Lord God Most High, the possessor of heaven and earth, that I will take nothing from a thread to a sandal strap, and that I will not take anything that is yours, lest you say I have made Abram rich. So here we see that Abraham held his oath to God, his commitment to God, and he was saying to the king, you know, I'm not going to take anything that you give me because I don't want to be rich through anyone except God himself. So Abraham refused these riches and these possessions that the king was offering him. And that must have been kind of hard for him to do, to turn down those rewards, so to speak. And then we see this in verse 1. After these things, the Bible says, the Lord came to Abram in a vision. Now, whenever the Bible says that someone received a vision from God, that means they received a supernatural insight that was given by the revelation from God. And this vision appeared to Abram while he was awake. He was not in a dream. There's a difference. God speaks to us in our dreams. God also gives people visions where the person is fully awake. So Abraham was fully awake when God came to him in a vision. Look at the end of verse 1. God says to Abraham, do not be afraid, Abram. I am your shield, your exceedingly great reward. That's the bulletin cover for this morning, where God says to Abram, I am your shield, your exceedingly great reward. God said to him, I am your protector. I am your reward, your exceedingly great reward. Therefore, you shall not fear. And I have scratched my head thinking, why would Abraham have fear? Why would Abraham have fear when he saw God? Well, this was not a fear of dread. Abraham's fear is a reverent fear for God, a fear of respect for God. God was telling Abraham here, there is no one else quite like you, Abram. And because there's no one like you, I will protect you. I will reward you. Now, how could anyone not like this? But surprisingly, Abraham questioned God about this whole idea of giving him a reward. Look at verse 2 of Genesis 15. But Abram said, Lord God, what will you give me, seeing I go childless, and the heir of my house is Eliezer of Damascus? You see, Abram had his own idea of what a reward will look like in his life. You know, up until this time, Abram was obedient to God under very difficult circumstances. But now he has a question for God. Look at verse 3. Why am I childless? Why have you closed the womb of my wives? Why is there no offspring so I can pass on my inheritance? You know, everybody has some kind of issue with God. Why don't I have this? Why don't I have that? Why do I have the sickness? Why don't I have more money? Why can't I be like this person? Well, Abraham's issue was that he had no biological children at this time. Now, he was rich, so there's no problem there. He had all kinds of possessions. He had all kinds of livestock and silver and gold. But for Abram to have no offspring, biological offspring, was like a slap in the face. Why? Because with no offspring, with no biological child, he couldn't pass on his inheritance, his godly inheritance, to anybody. When you think about it, that is the most important part of being a parent nowadays. It's always the most important part of being a parent, is establishing a heritage, establishing a godly heritage for your children and pass it on to the grandchildren. But imagine what that must have been like. Here, Abram is told he's very special to God, faithful to God, but at this time, he didn't have any of his own biological children. He would see all these other guys, many of them probably weren't faithful to God like he was. They were having kids and they're seeing, you know, the heritage passed down. Abram's thinking, I can't buy my inheritance with silver and gold. And then we see God changed all that. Look at verse 4. We see in verse 4, God answered Abram's request by saying, but one who will come from your own body will be your heir. In other words, God told him, you will have a biological child now. And Abram's probably thinking, well, isn't it a little bit too late? I mean, according to one biblical scholar, Abram was about 85 years old at this time. And he's thinking, okay, I'm going to be a father at 85. I mean, I thought I was old when I was a father, but at least I wasn't 85. But here he was, 85. He's going to have a child. Now, you have to remember, offsprings during Bible times were not dependents like we see kids today. They were descendants. They were heritage. They're flesh and blood. It's a blessing. It was a blessing for Abram, too, to be told this. No one would have thought it was possible. No one would have thought this was possible, including Abraham and later on his wife Sarah. But we have a God who can do the impossible. This morning, in your inserts, I want to ask you just to write down one request that you have for God to do the impossible situation in your life. If you're facing an impossible situation, write that request down. It's just between you and God. Because we have a God who can do the impossible. I want us to think about how God is able to do what we believe is impossible. You know, we read about how God does the impossible with Moses and Job and David. But can you see God doing the impossible in your life? You might be facing something this morning that you believe is impossible. You can be assured that no matter what the odds are, God is able to do the impossible. But you need to be convinced. I grew up in the late 70s, and there was a movie series that was very popular at that time called Rocky. Rocky was such a popular movie that they made 5 movies out of it. And I believe one of the reasons why Rocky was so popular is because we can all identify with Rocky to some extent. Here he was, the underdog, the one who no one thought could win. Can't we identify with that, where the odds are against you and you want to fight to beat the odds? Same way with one of my favorite movies, Rudy. Rudy was a popular movie, I believe, because there's a little bit of Rudy in all of us. You know, where we were told, you know, you're never going to amount to much. You can't accomplish your dream. Well, we see with a lot of hard work and determination, Rudy accomplished his dream of going to Notre Dame and play football for Notre Dame. Now, are those two movies just a fictional story that can happen in real life? No. These are not just stories. They're real. They're real situations that we face in our lives. You and I can overcome the odds that you're facing with the strength of the Lord. But most important, you can overcome them by great faith in the Lord. What did God tell Abram to do when Abram was all down about not having any offspring of his own? Look at verse 6. God told him, "Look now toward heaven and count the stars if you're able to number them." And he said to him, "So shall your descendants be." What did God tell Abram to do? He said, "Look towards heaven. Look upward. Don't look down." God told him, "Look up at the possibilities. Look what I'm able to do. It's not what you can do, Abram. It's not what your heritage can do. It's not what your ancestors can do. It is what I, the Lord, can do. You got to look towards heaven." That's great advice for us today. Whatever you're facing this morning, look towards heaven and believe in the Lord. You know, when you look at the situation in our country and the mass shootings that we had in Texas and Ohio, we need to know that only heaven can give us hope, that only heaven can heal ultimately. It's only when we look towards heaven can we know that our Lord is the only one who has the answers to our problems. And the critics might say, you might have heard this in the news, the critics might say, you know, whenever people say our thoughts and prayers are with the victims, critics say, well, that's not enough to say our thoughts and prayers are with you. You need more than prayers, they're thinking. Can you imagine that? Can you imagine people saying that you need more than prayers? We need more than prayers? Think about what that says. Jesus tells us that if just 2 or 3 are gathered together in my name, I'm there. I'm there in the midst of them. Do you know how easy it is to get 2 or 3 people together for prayer? It can be very easy. And just think of the possibilities of the outcome of our prayers, what that would be. This week, I'd ask you to do something. Do something for someone who's in need. If you know of someone who is facing a very difficult situation, tell them to look towards heaven, like God told Abraham to do. Or maybe you need to do that. Look towards heaven. Look at the possibilities that God has for you. Facing an impossible situation means that we need to encourage each other with heaven. And as God told Abram to count the stars in the heavens, think of those stars as blessings in your life, too numerous to count. That's what we need to do for each other and for people. Give people the hope of heaven and believe that God can do the impossible. Believe that by your great faith and God will count it towards you for righteousness. Let us pray. Lord, we thank you that you are the God who can do all things. We pray, O God, for anyone this morning who might be losing confidence. We pray, Lord, that you would give them the confidence and the hope of heaven, the confidence that only you can provide. And we pray, Lord, as we leave here today, that we as your people will be encouragers for people who are facing hopeless situations. We pray that we would encourage them and give them the hope of heaven and to have them pray, have us pray. Help us, Lord, to know the importance of the words that Jesus says, where two or three are gathered together in my name, there I am in the midst of them. Help us, Lord, to be faithful in carrying out that task of praying for one another. The Lord will give you all the praise, honor, and the glory, for we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. This morning, as I was talking this morning about the possibilities that we face, the impossible situations, I want to offer anyone to come forward for prayer. If you need prayer for anything, I'll be here to pray for you. Or if you just want to pray on your own, you can do that. And let's close by singing a great, great hymn of faith. Great is thy faithfulness. Let's all stand as we sing this together. As we leave here today, hear these words from the Apostle Paul from Romans chapter 8, verses 31 and 38 and 39. What then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.